Keep taking notes. There will be a test later. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
How convenient is it that James Comey is out of the country right now?
Yeah.
He's loved by everybody. The tallest Boy Scout, kneecapped in the IG report.
Yeah, not so tall now, bent over, huh? Just saying.
But referring back to the other things that have gone on this week, Donald Trump entered the presidency knowing full well that his biggest challenge on the international stage was likely going to be North Korea. Former President Barack Obama underscored the problems he would face from the regime of Kim Jong-un from the beginning and told Trump, "This is your biggest challenge." With that in mind, the president made a clear goal of ending the nuclear threat from Kim Jong-un and his regime to the United States, South Korea, Japan, and frankly, the entire world. A nuclear-armed DPRK was simply not an acceptable situation for anyone, Donald Trump concluded. And he's taking concrete steps to eliminate that threat and follow through on his promises that he made to the American people and, frankly, to the world. And that is exactly what he should be doing. 6 months ago, there was an extremely elevated level of rhetoric and anxiety when the war of words between President Trump and Chairman Kim reached a fevered pitch. Many thought the two nations were on the precipice of an actual war that could take place in the Korean Peninsula, threatening millions of people. Democrats and others were openly hostile and critical to Trump on his approach to the Hermit Kingdom and his 34-year-old dictator, as were Angela Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, and others. The hostile conversation, however, tacked in an unexpected new direction in March, when Chairman Kim reached out and offered a face-to-face meeting with the president. Most observers dismissed the idea as not serious. The one person that did take it seriously? The president. Donald Trump said yes to the meeting, and the world stopped to let that sink in. The critics on the left barely skipped a beat, however, went straight to criticizing the summit as not serious. Those on the left further said the president was not equipped emotionally or intellectually to handle such a meeting, and furthermore, he would be taken advantage of by the crafty young dictator. After all, they argued, North Korea has a long history of making and subsequently breaking promises when it comes to scaling back its military aspirations, most notably its nuclear aspirations. Once again, they underestimated Donald Trump. They did this after Trump had plowed through so many failed predictions on his way to winning the White House and then clicking off one campaign promise after another. Once again, they were all wrong. The Singapore summit went very well. Just ask those who are celebrating still in places like Seoul, South Korea, and Tokyo, Japan. The people who find themselves in the closest proximity to nuclear destruction and war are praising the efforts of the President of the United States to deliver peace on the Korean Peninsula. Despite all the critics and all the naysayers taking shots at Trump, he remained steadfast, and he remained focused on the goal of meeting Chairman Kim and working for a new conversation between the two nations. Even after the left sang out in unison when the summit was briefly canceled on the 24th of May, and they said, "We told you so," Donald Trump remained vigilant. So did Mike Pompeo. So did John Bolton. And after a few days, the summit was back on and put back on the schedule. This is territory that Donald Trump is uniquely qualified to address because he has been there before. Business deals are often tumultuous and come with sudden stops and sudden starts. When you are a developer on the scale of Donald Trump, you can have numerous victories and setbacks in the course of a single development. One skyscraper, one casino, one building can have ups and downs and good days and bad. Trump has been in the punishing arena for decades. So having a meeting like this, or in this case a summit, canceled because the other side isn't working well or is non-responsive or not doing what they should, there is no need for panic, just a reason to reconsider your options. And that's what Trump did. He met with his team, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, and all the rest, Nikki Haley, all of them, got together, considered their next moves, how they would proceed. Pompeo, as we now know, kept working behind the scenes, and within a few days, that summit was back on. When the president walked across the stage to shake the hand of Chairman Kim, his team had been working on the issue for 18 months. When they went behind closed doors, he said he would rely on his sense of the dictator to decide if this would be a positive and productive conversation. They talked for almost an hour in that first meeting, and it went far better than he expected, according to his own comments. A longer meeting involving high-level advisors of both men followed the first. During those meetings, they arrived at some conclusions that they both memorialized in a document they both signed before leaving Singapore. Before the ink was even dry, however, the critics were once again screaming like smashed cats that America had been taken advantage of and North Korea had gotten everything it wanted and Trump got zero in return. Quite simply, my friends, that's not the case. What President Trump got was what business people often get. It's called a letter of intent. He walked away with a document that memorializes the broad agreement that both sides concluded behind closed doors. A letter of intent is the framework for a more comprehensive contract that will come later. The agreement will now be worked out. The real work continues, and that is exactly what we are in the middle of now. Mike Pompeo went straight to China. Straight to China to sit down and discuss the sanctions and make sure that Beijing would remain in place and also remain steadfast in this process. As an aside, the critics also said Trump would never be able to forge a relationship with President Xi Jinping of China, but those critics were clearly wrong on that score as well. Make no mistake, there will be more ups and more downs on the road to a permanent peace in the Korean Peninsula. And every time there's a negative story from Pyongyang, the critics will cry out at the top of their lungs about the foolishness of the whole idea of making a deal with North Korea. Of course, these same critics sang the praises of the Iran nuclear deal. There was no deal at all. And cost America billions of dollars to secure, including nearly $2 billion in cash delivered under the cover of darkness to an airport in Tehran. President Trump will deliver on three key points with North Korea. He will secure a signed peace treaty officially ending the Korean War after 65 years. He will oversee the removal of all nuclear weapons from the North, and he will shepherd in an era of prosperity like the Hermit Kingdom has never known. Donald Trump knows from experience this kind of process will take time, and he also knows that an epic deal begins with one handshake. Bank on it. Free for All Friday, it's the Steve Gruber Show.